I remember hearing a story, it's been a long time ago, and I've told it to you a couple different times, about a man, a Christian, that died and went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, Jesus was giving him a tour of heaven. And he showed him where Moses lived and Isaiah lived and the different ones, where their mansion was. And the man noticed over to the side of the street, there were these large buildings. And Jesus didn't mention them at all as he was giving him a tour. And so his curiosity was piqued, and he said, "Lord, you've showed me where everybody lived, and I appreciate that, but what are all these buildings over here to the side of the street? What purpose do they serve?" And Jesus, "Well, just come here, and I'll show you." And so he opened one of the buildings. They went into one of the buildings, and there were just all sorts of good things stored on shelves in those buildings. And Jesus said, "All these are the good things that I wanted to give my children, but they never asked me for them. I had to put them in storage because I was ready to give them to them, and they knew they needed them, but they never asked for them, and so I wasn't able to give them to them." Many Christians live in a meager existence, and they do without things that God wants them to have. And they do without them because they don't pray. I mean, it's a real simple statement there in the last part of James chapter 4, verse 2, where he says, "Yet ye have not, because ye ask not." In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, in the letter to Laodicea, here Jesus said this: "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Most of the time, many of the times, we don't ask for things because either we don't see the need or we don't believe that God will give them to us. I want to remind you tonight, we have a good God. We have a big God. There ought to be nothing that we need in our life that we think is either too big or too small to ask God for. He wants to bless his children. He wants to answer the prayers of his children. And we need things. We need things in our life that only God can give us. And he wants to give them to us. And yet he doesn't, because we don't ask. And again, I'd encourage you, somebody mentioned it in their testimony. As we look around to other people, especially on this day when we're praying for persecuted Christians, and Adam disagreed with me a little bit tonight about moving the service back here. He said, I told him, I texted him, and I said, "We're going to move the service to the auditorium, or to the gym. It's already 65 in the auditorium, and I'm afraid, without the heat going through there, it's going to be in the low 60s when we get done." And he made the comment, "How convenient for persecuted Christians." They undergo a lot of different things. And, he says, "You mean we can't meet in an auditorium that's a little bit cold?" And I held myself in check. You're not where the buck stops, buddy. The buck stops here. And all these ladies that end up in the service going like this before it's over, they're not going to look at you. They're going to look at me. And I know even if we met in the auditorium and it was cold, we'd have it a lot better off than many Christians do around the world tonight. I know that. But tonight I have a real simple message. What we do without when we don't pray and we don't ask for it. What we do without. I have five things I want to mention tonight. The first thing that we do without when we don't pray is forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from confession. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God's given us a wonderful promise in that verse. If I confess my sins to him, he'll forgive them and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, I can't confess unless I pray. I mean, you can't confess to me as your pastor. You can't confess to some other man. If you're going to confess your sins, you've got to confess them to God. And he says, "If you confess them to me, I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." So if we don't pray, I mean, you can't confess your sins to God if you don't pray. If you don't pray, you don't ask for forgiveness, you don't confess, there's no forgiveness. And if no forgiveness, then we have to there's some things that we live with and some things we forego. We live with guilt. It's a sad thing that Christians live with guilt. I've known Christians that have lived with guilt over and over again because they've never asked God to forgive their sins. We've heard stories of criminals that have been on the run for a number of years, and they finally get caught, and their testimony when they get caught is, what a relief it is. I don't have to feel the guilt anymore of my sin. I can pay for it and have it done. When we sin as Christians, we don't have to feel guilt, and we ought to feel guilty if we don't confess. But God has given us a way to get forgiveness for our sins, and that's to confess them to Him. You only can do that through prayer. The second thing that we forego if we don't get forgiveness is growth in our Christian life. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it says in that same version, the next verse, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Again, if we're going to run the race that God has given us to run, we need to get the known sin out of our life. If we're going to run it the way that He wants us to run it, we need to confess our sins. And again, we can't confess our sins if we don't pray. So we have not because we ask not. We don't have the forgiveness of sins because we don't ask for it. And then, sooner or later, as God's children, if we don't confess our sins, sooner or later, He's going to chastise us. We have a patient God. He's patient with His children. But sooner or later, if we continue in our sin and don't confess it, he's going to come after us as a dad comes after his child, as a dad comes after his son. In 1 Corinthians, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And when the chastening of the Lord comes, know that it comes out of love. And what He's trying to do is say, look, I've given you a way out. I've given you a way of escape. All you have to do is confess your sins to Me, and I'll forgive them. But if you don't pray, if you don't confess your sins, you're going to live with the guilt. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will make sure you feel guilt. I was talking to somebody this week, and we talked about eternal salvation. And they said, how can a person that's a Christian sin and not feel guilt? And I said, they can't. They cannot sin and not feel guilt. Because if they're truly saved, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of that sin. He will. That's what He does. And so if we don't pray, we don't get forgiveness. And we live with guilt. We don't run the race that we should run. And sooner or later, we're going to get chastised by our Heavenly Father. So we have not because we ask not. Let's ask for forgiveness. Let's confess our sins. Claim the promise in 1 John 1:9. Confess and get cleansed and forgiven for those sins. Second thing, what we do without when we don't pray. We do without God's fellowship, without His fellowship. God made us for Himself. He did not make me for you. He did not make you for me. He didn't make me for the world. He made me and He made you for Himself so that He could fellowship with you. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. The fellowship that God wants us to have is a personal fellowship. He wants us to know Him. And to know Him is just not to know facts about Him. To know Jesus is just not to know that He was born of a virgin. To know Jesus is just not to know that when He was 12 years old, He went to the temple and was left there by His parents. To know Jesus is just not to know that His earthly dad was a carpenter and His mother was Mary and He grew up in their home. To know Jesus is not just to know the things that He did in His ministry. To know Jesus is just not to know facts about Him. To know Him is to know Him. Like Paul talked about in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Not just facts about him, not just things that he did, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, let me ask you tonight, don't answer me out loud, but answer me in your head. How do you get to know somebody? How do you get to know somebody? You get to know somebody by spending time with them. By sharing with them. By pouring out your heart to them. That's how you get to know somebody. You see, I'm afraid that many Christians know Jesus like they know Abraham Lincoln. They know facts about him, but they don't really know him. Everybody here tonight probably has somebody in their life that they admire. And they would say, boy, if I had an opportunity, I'd want to sit down with them. I'd want to spend time with them. I'd want to get to know them, and I'd want them to get to know me. Here's a privilege above all wonder. God in heaven and his blessed Son wants us to know him. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him. That's what he desires. That's what he wants from his children. And what an opportunity we have. I mean, again, there are people in your life that if you could, you'd say, oh, I'd jump at the opportunity. If I could just sit down, if I could just spend time with them, if I could just get to know them, not know about them, but get to know them and know their heart and know how they think, and they could get to know me and know my heart and know how I think. And yet we have the opportunity to do that with our Creator. We have the opportunity to do that with the one that holds the whole world together. We have that opportunity to know God. Well, if we don't pray, we're not spending any time with God. We're not. How can we know him if we don't spend time with him? And how can we spend time with him if we don't pray? We have not because we ask not. We don't have forgiveness. We don't have fellowship. Number three, we don't have wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom is when we see things through the eyes of God, that we have the same vantage point that he does. He'll give us that wisdom. It doesn't come naturally. It has to be given to us by God. God has a clear view of things. Oftentimes, our view of things are distorted. That's why we have messes and accidents in our life. We don't see clearly. We don't see the way that God clears. I mean, if you were in a rainstorm and it was pouring down rain, or you were in a snowstorm and it was pouring down snow, and you were driving and you couldn't see in front of you, if you were wise, I won't say that. If you were wise, you would pull off to the side of the road. I mean, if you can't see and you're driving, why would you continue driving? I mean, if you're smart, if you're wise, you would pull off to the side of the road until the snow lets up, until the rain lets up. Why would you continue going down the road, you know, driving that two-ton cart when you can't see in front of you? That's why people have accidents. They continue to drive when they can't see. That's why people have accidents in life. Things happen that they don't mean to happen, but they haven't asked God for wisdom. They haven't asked God to be able to see like he sees. And so we have times in our life when we have to go to people and we have to say, hey, I didn't mean to hurt you. We have to go to our spouse and say, I didn't mean to mess up our marriage. We have to go to our kids and have to say, hey, I didn't mean to mess up as a dad or a mom. We have to go to God and say, hey, I didn't mean to mess up my testimony. And the reason we have to do that is because we don't ask God for wisdom. He says, if you ask, I'll give it to you liberally. I mean, I won't give you just a little bit. I'll give you a lot. I'll let you see things the way that I see them. That's what wisdom is, seeing things the way God sees them. He says, if you ask me, I'll give you that wisdom. And then the decisions that you make will be the decisions that will be pleasing to me. You see, let me give you an example. When Abraham and Lot, their herdmen, were fighting because there wasn't enough land to support both their herds, Abraham came to Lot and said, hey, it's not right. We're brothers. It's not right. This is a bad testimony to those around us that we're fussing and our people are fussing over the land. I think it'd be best if we split up. You look around and you make the pick. You pick. Now, Lot, I think, should have done two things. I think, first of all, he should have said to his uncle, Uncle, you're wiser than I am. You know more than I am. I'd prefer that you make the choice. You choose and I'll go the other direction. If he wasn't willing to do that, he should have gone to God, his God, and said, God, I need wisdom. I'm going to make this choice. My uncle's given me the opportunity to make this choice, but I want your wisdom to make it. I want to see what you see as I make this choice. Now, we know what Lot did. He didn't do either one. He looked around with his own wisdom. He looked over this way and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. He looked over this way and saw a wilderness. And with his own wisdom, he said, well, I'll choose that direction. I'll choose that land. He made a mess. Made a mess of his marriage. Made a mess of his kids. Made a mess of his life. Made a mess of his testimony. Because he didn't ask God for wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. We have not because we ask not. We don't pray. So we don't have forgiveness. We don't have fellowship. We don't have wisdom. Number four, we do without peace. Without peace. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word careful, if you study it in the Greek, means to tear something and shred it with hooks. To tear something and shred it with hooks. And so what Paul says in that verse is, Don't be tore up, don't be shredded about anything, okay? Don't let anything like that tear you to shreds. And a lot of Christians, they worry about things that they ought not to worry about. They are tore up about things that they ought not to be tore up about. I mean, when those kind of things come into your life, like Becky was talking about in her testimony, they all come into our life, they can do one of two things to us. They can either tear us up and destroy our health, give us ulcers, just, you know, mess up our life, or we can give them to God and have the peace that passeth understanding. You know what that verse is saying? That when the world looks at Christians going through those trials and tribulations, the things that God allows to come into our life, and they see us with a peace that they can't understand because they don't have God. They said, how can you remain calm? How can you keep going day by day? Hey, I can look around this room, and you've talked to me about, some people have talked to me about things going on in their life. I mean, I know some of the things that are going on in your life. And if you didn't have God, if you didn't have his peace, those things would tear you to shreds. They would tear you to shreds. But thank God, he says, there's, I don't want you to be tore up about anything. I want you to bring it to me, and I will give you the peace that passeth understanding. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So we have not because we ask not. We don't pray. And so we don't have forgiveness. We don't have fellowship. We don't have wisdom. We don't have peace. And then we don't have, number five, protection. Our enemy is on the attack all the time. Satan is after us all the time. He places temptation. He places opposition in our path. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He knew, Jesus knew, that in our flesh that we could not endure temptation. That sooner or later we would fall to that temptation. And so he says, you watch, you keep your eyes open, and then you pray. You pray, and I will keep you from temptation. The Bible says that God doesn't tempt us with evil. He tempts no man. And Satan does. And he'll do it over and over and over and over again. Now, if we don't take it to God, sooner or later, we're going to fall. We're going to fall into sin. But God says, you bring it to me. You pray. You ask. And I'll deliver you from that temptation. We have not because we ask not. We don't pray. And so we don't have forgiveness. We don't have fellowship. We don't have wisdom. We don't have peace. We don't have protection. Now, we're out of time. I'm sure there's other things that you could add to this list. I mean, as I was finishing up my message this week, I thought about three or four other things that I could add to the list. Prayer is a wonderful privilege that God gives to his children. We need to take advantage of it. Every moment of every day. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing about everything. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we could be here. Thank you that you've given us this place to meet, for the warmth that we have in this room, and Holy Spirit for meeting with us tonight. We can meet in a fellowship hall, in a gym, and where two or three are gathered in your name, there you're in the midst. And so we appreciate your presence tonight. We're thankful for your presence tonight. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd convict us tonight. Becky Song did that. How long has it been? How long has it been since we've truly spent time in prayer? Since we've truly got down on our knees and spent time with you, asking for that forgiveness, enjoying the fellowship that comes when we kneel in prayer, claiming the wisdom that you offer and the peace that you offer and the protection that you offer through prayer. I pray tonight that if it's been a long time, that we'd make some holy vows in this place, that we get back to a habit of daily prayer, of spending time with you. Father, I do pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been working on them during this time. I pray you'd help them see that they are a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible also tells us there's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is death, separation from you. But the Bible also contains the gospel, the love that you have for mankind, and how that love sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins, and enables you, as a just God, to offer to every man, woman, boy, and girl a gift, the gift of eternal life, all because of what Jesus paid on Calvary. And I pray if there's just one tonight that doesn't know him, that in the next few moments they would receive him. They would just say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and tonight I ask you to be my Savior. And I pray, Father, that if they do that, they'll let us know that during the invitation, they'll come and they'll tell us, I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. So speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.